93-3-91-133-5833.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses. Look, no excuses.
Good morning and welcome to Vaughan Radio. Vaughan Radio, this is Fitz and I'm here with Pablo. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. And it is cold.
Yes.
It was 0 degrees an hour ago. At 8 a.m. it was 0 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I could see ice on the screen of the cars in the neighborhood where I live.
Oh, really?
This morning, yes.
How do you say scotcha?
I don't remember.
Frost. Frost.
Frost.
Yeah. There's a character in the English language, Jack Frost.
Jack Frost, yes.
There's that famous Christmas song, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your toes. What's to nip?
Nip. Biting.
Slightly biting.
Slightly biting.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, now, what's to pinch?
The pinch is pellizcar, I think.
Pellizcar. And then in the northern half of Ireland, people say nip instead of pinch. But a dog, for example, if a dog nips you, it just gives you a little bite, which doesn't hurt too much, but it gives you a little bite. Let's do a bit of work with so do I, so does he, neither do I, neither does he. I like good food, and you?
So do I.
And Nacho?
So does he.
And all of us?
So do we.
Very good. And the listeners?
So do they.
I'm not rich in you.
And neither am I.
Nacho?
Neither is he.
Me?
Neither are you.
All of us?
Neither are we.
Nacho and myself?
Neither are you.
Very good. I'm not French, and you?
Neither am I.
The people in Belgium?
And neither are they.
Nacho?
Neither is he.
Me?
Neither are you.
Richard Vaughan?
Neither is he.
I'd like to be a millionaire, and you?
So would I.
Nacho?
So would he.
Me?
So would you.
Nacho, myself?
So would you.
All of us?
So would we.
And the listeners?
So would they.
I've been to Toledo, and you?
So have I.
And me?
So have you, I think.
Yeah, yes, yes. Not for a long time, but I have. And Nacho?
So has he.
I've never been to Mongolia, and you?
Neither have I.
And me?
Neither have you.
Nacho?
Neither has he.
Nacho, myself?
Neither have you.
Nacho, myself, and you?
Neither have we.
The listeners?
Neither have they.
I'll retire someday, and you?
So will I.
And Nacho?
So will he.
Nacho, myself?
So will you.
Very good. I can't fly like Peter Pan, and you?
Neither can I.
Very good. How do you say ganso?
Geese.
Well, just one.
Goose.
Yeah, and the plural?
Geese.
Very good. Now, a group of geese on the ground. There's two ways of saying it. The more common...
I would say a flock.
A flock. That's the more common. There's another word, which is an older word, and it's for a smaller group of geese when they're on the ground, which is called a gaggle.
A gaggle.
Because of the sound that they make. What do you call a male goose?
I don't remember.
A gander.
A gander. Gander.
Have you ever encountered a gander?
I don't think so.
I've ever encountered a gander.
Have you ever encountered a gander?
Yeah, you've got to be careful of them.
Yes.
And the female, because they can be aggressive, and they're big birds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a cousin of my father taught me something when I was a kid. He said, if a gander approaches you and they hiss, they go, and their wings are spread, he said, he means business. He said, if you have a shirt on or a coat on, you pull it high up over your head, as high as you can with your hands, and you make yourself look bigger. And he said, that might help you. But he said, get out of there. Get out of there. Yeah. You don't mess with them. So I can't fly like Peter Pan, and you?
Neither can I.
Nacho?
Neither can he.
Very good. Ostriches?
Neither can they.
How do you say ostrich in Spanish?
Avestruces.
Yeah. There was an incident in a Canadian city recently. I can't remember which one. A small Canadian city. Where ostriches escaped from an ostrich farm. Something like 20 or 25 of them. Now, they are huge animals.
Yes, they are very big.
And you don't mess with those guys. Now, one of them, unfortunately, was killed. It was hit by a car. But even, I would say, hitting a car, it would do a lot of... It would be dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Ask me if we have a problem in Ireland with deer causing accidents.
Do you have a problem in Ireland with deer causing accidents?
Yeah, how do you say deer in Spanish?
Ciervos.
And what do you call the meat of the deer? With a V? Venison.
Venison.
How do you say it in Spanish?
Venado.
Venado.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think we refer with that word to the male, mainly to the meat.
Yeah, but the same in English. We only use the word for the meat. So, for example, what do you call the male deer when it's alive? This is also a type of party a man gets married. Stag party. Stag party.
Stack.
There was a beautiful car in the 1970s and 80s made by Triumph, a two-seater open-top car called the Triumph Stag. I don't know if it came here. Beautiful car.
I don't think so.
Incredibly unreliable, which is the problem with those British cars. When it went,
unreliable.
Yeah, this was a huge problem for British cars in the 70s and 80s. You know, they made beautiful looking cars with this had a fantastic V8 engine. So when it went, it was great, but half of the time it just didn't work. Yeah, the Triumph Stag. And a female deer?
Doe.
Yes,
a
deer, a female deer. So but the meat is venison, but only when the animal is dead. But yes, we have a problem. In the southwest of Ireland, there's a very big national park, very mountainous, a lot of forest. And the deer has no predator in Ireland, really, because we don't have wolves. We don't, you know. The only thing it might have is that the young deer, which is called a fawn, maybe a fox might take it, maybe, but really they don't have a predator. And so they breed. And they can jump very high. And the problem is they can jump easily a fence of 2 meters, and they jump out onto a road. And if they land on a car, I mean, they can cause a serious accident, because the stag, I'm sure, can easily weigh more than 100 kilos.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a similar problem here in Spain.
Really?
In the Soria province.
Yeah.
There are a lot of car accidents.
Because of deer.
Because of deer and because of boars.
Ah, boars.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And the problem is they don't have predators.
Yeah.
Hunters. Just that. But
yeah,
they are limited in the number that they can hunt.
And this is the same in Ireland. It's very, 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 very few people can get a license to hunt deer. Now, what does the verb to cull mean? C-U-L-L.
C-U-L-L. I don't know.
In the case of a problem with a species where it's overpopulated, the government in Ireland, for example, or maybe in Soria or nationally might say, we need to cull. So they would license hunters to kill a certain number of deer, to cull meaning to reduce the herd. Mm-hmm. H-E-R-D. How do you say herd in Spanish?
La manada.
La manada. Ah, so you use the same. And now, what's the collective in English for wolves?
Pack.
Yes.
A pack of wolves.
Very good, yeah.
You have a lot of words for
a
manada.
Lot in English.
I think we have only one.
Yeah, there's a lot, and a lot of very interesting words, actually. Useless, but interesting.
Okay.
For example, how do you say búho in English?
Owl.
Owl.
Owl. Owl.
What do you call a collective of owls?
I don't know.
A parliament.
A parliament.
A parliament. Crows is a murder. A murder of crows. Like as in MacDad.
Murder.
Yeah. So there's some very, very interesting ones. Useless, but interesting.
Yes. And you say for lamb?
Now, lamb, the B is always silent. You mean the cordero?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have a specific word for a group of lamb, maybe a flock.
No, a flock of sheep.
Sheep.
Yeah,
it's sheep.
A flock of sheep.
It's sheep.
A herd of cows.
Yeah.
A herd of elephants. Like I said, a parliament of owls. A murder of crows. A coven of witches.
A coven.
Yeah.
And you have something for insects. For bees, you say...
Oof. A swarm.
A swarm.
A swarm. How do you say that in Spanish?
Enjambre. Enjambre.
Enjambre.
Enjambre. We have a specific
and we would use that pretty much for any flying insects, like bees, flies, locusts. A locust is a very large grasshopper that is extremely destructive for crops.
We call it langosta here.
Langosta.
Langosta.
Yeah. Is this sometimes a problem in Spain?
Well, especially in summer when the winds when the wind comes from the south, from Africa.
Yes.
In the south of Spain, there have been some problems with them.
Yeah.
But very scarcely.
Okay.
At least with the climate change, you never know what will happen.
They can strip a field of wheat in minutes.
In minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredibly destructive creatures. Yeah. Where were we? I could read when I was 7 years old, and you?
So could I.
Your brothers?
So could they.
Nacho?
So could he.
Me?
So could you.
Nacho myself?
So could you.
I don't speak Chinese, and your boss?
Neither does he.
Very good. And mine?
Neither do you.
No, my boss.
Oh, neither does he. Neither.
No, you
neither
met.
Does she.
Yes, you met her the other day. Yeah. I was here 10 minutes ago, and you?
So was I.
Nacho?
So was he.
Nacho myself?
So were you.
Very good. All of us?
So were we.
I played with toys when I was a child, and you?
So did I.
You're sitting in this room, and me?
So are we.
And me?
So are you.
And Nacho myself?
So are you.
And Nacho yourself and myself?
So are we.
You don't drive a Formula One car. And your wife?
Neither does she.
And your children?
Neither do they.
And your son?
Neither does he.
And your daughter?
Neither does she.
Very good. My house is in the province of... Actually, no. I know. Yes, it is.
Yes.
My house is in the province of Madrid. And yours?
So is mine.
Very good. How far is the border? Because the nearest border to you is Guadalajara?
Guadalajara, yes.
How far is it from your house, approximately?
Maybe 8-10 kilometers,
okay.
Not more.
All right. I went to school when I was a child, and you?
So did I.
And Nacho?
So did he.
And Richard Vaughan?
So did he.
And you and I?
So did we.
Very good. And yeah, so did I, so did we. Very good, very good. Let's do a little bit of negative questions to practice auxiliary verbs. I say, I can't do it. You say, why can't you do it? I can't do it.
Why can't you do it?
I couldn't do it.
Why couldn't you do it?
I wasn't able to do it.
Why weren't you able to do it?
I won't be able to do it.
Why won't you be able to do it?
I'm not going to be able to do it.
Why aren't you going to be able to do it?
Very good. They can't hear us.
Why can't they hear us?
They couldn't hear us.
Why couldn't they hear us?
I can't go to the meeting with you.
Why can't you come with a meeting with me? Go. Why can't you go to the meeting with me?
Very good. And yesterday?
Why couldn't you go to the meeting with me?
And tomorrow?
Why won't you be able to go to the meeting with me?
Very good. She can't play in our team.
Why can't she play in our team?
On.
On. Why can't she play on our team?
And yesterday?
Why couldn't she play on our team?
And tomorrow?
Why won't she be able to play on our team?
Very good. They can't afford a new car.
Why can't they afford a new car?
Yesterday?
Why couldn't they afford a new car?
Tomorrow?
Why won't they be able to afford a new car?
He can't attend the university.
Why can't he attend the university?
Tomorrow?
Why won't he be able to attend the university?
Yesterday?
Why wasn't he able to attend the university?
Very good. There wasn't a ticket for you.
Why wasn't there a ticket for me?
Very good. And yesterday?
Why wasn't there a ticket for me?
Very good. And tomorrow?
Why won't there be a ticket for me?
Very good, very good. He doesn't need to work.
Why doesn't she need to work?
He.
Why doesn't he need to work?
Very good. And yesterday?
Why didn't she need... why didn't he need to work?
Right, let's do a little bit of transition from book number 7, list 21. Transition booklet. Ha llegado la hora de tomar una decisión.
The time to make a decision has come.
Very good. And now, perfect. And now, invert for another version. Same words.
A decision...
The time?
The time to make a...
No, what you said was correct, but there's another version, exactly the same words, different order of words. The time has come
to make a decision.
Very good. Ojalá tuviéramos más información.
I wish we had more information.
Eso no cambiaría la situación.
That wouldn't change the situation.
Very good. Al menos nos sentiríamos más tranquilos.
At least we'd feel more reassured.
Very good, very good. La vida está llena de riesgos.
Life is full of risks.
Es más arriesgado no tomar una decisión.
It's riskier not to make a decision.
Well done, very good. Quizá tengas razón.
You may be right.
Very good, I'm with might.
You might be right.
Confía en mí, sé lo que digo.
Trust me, I know what I'm saying.
Very good. Todo saldrá bien.
Everything will turn out fine.
Well done, very good. No puedo evitar pensar en los niños.
I can't help thinking about the children.
Very good. Son todavía pequeños. Son todavía pequeños. Se adaptarán.
They're still little. They will adapt.
Very good. Nunca pensé que llegaríamos a esto.
I never thought we'd come to this.
Well done. Deberíamos haber seguido el consejo de mi padre.
We should have followed my father's advice.
Very good. What does it mean to follow your father's footsteps?
Doing the same thing he previously did.
Yes, usually for a job, yeah. Deberíamos haber vendido la casa.
We should have sold the house.
Very good, very good. Another modal you could use instead of should, not so common these days.
We ought to have sold the house.
Yeah, I don't think I ever say it, but yeah. Deberías haberle pedido perdón.
We should have...
Deberías.
You should have apologized to him.
Very good. Heriste sus sentimientos.
You hurt his feelings.
Nos hubiera ayudado si le hubieras tratado bien.
He would have helped us if you had treated him well.
Very good. ¿Cómo te sentirías tú si te dejaran... ¿Cómo te sentirías tú si te dijeran eso?
How would you feel if they called you that?
Dijeran.
If they told you that.
And again?
How would you feel if they told you that?
Very good. Tengo que coger un vuelo mañana.
I have to catch a plane tomorrow.
Odio volar.
I hate flying.
Pero los aviones son muy seguros.
But planes are very safe.
¿Cuál es el momento más peligroso de tu vuelo?
What's the most dangerous moment of your flight?
De un vuelo.
Of a flight.
Again?
What's the most dangerous moment of a flight?
El viaje de tu casa al aeropuerto.
The trip from your house to the airport.
Is that true?
I think so.
Apparently. Now, Richard said that Richard's father worked in insurance, life insurance, mm-hmm. for the New York Life Insurance Company. And this was something they said in risk assessment.
It's more likely to have a car crash than an accident with a plane.
Yeah, yeah. You're in safe hands with a pilot. Something my father used to say, because at first my mother was a nervous flyer. And they were in the States and something, there was a technical problem with the plane while they were in the air. And she got nervous and he said, don't forget, he, the pilot, wants to get down safely too. Yes. And he's the most trained person who has ever transported you anywhere.
Yes. Yeah. And every technical system in a plane is at least doubled or tripled. So if one fails, you always have a backup.
Yeah.
Always.
And then you have typically at least two pilots.
Yes.
Who help each other. Yeah.
And they don't eat the same.
I never knew that. They don't eat the same thing.
They don't eat the same.
This is, so if they
for,
go...
For example, you have an overseas flight.
Yeah.
That means you're going to be on board the plane for 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. They'll never eat the same.
I never knew that. Because one of my favorite films, in English is called Airplane, with Leslie Nielsen, but it's got a completely different name in Spanish. It's a what we call a disaster movie. It's from the 70s, the late 70s.
Yes. I think that movie was called Aeropuerto 78.
Ah, really?
In Spanish.
Okay. And I mean, it is amazingly funny, but one of the problems is that the pilots actually ate the same thing. And one of the pilots, the co-pilot, was the famous basketball player with the LA Lakers, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah.
In that case, it's Aterriza Como Puedas.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, absolutely hysterical film.
Yes.
Yeah. Ha habido un cambio en el programa.
There's been a change in the schedule.
Very good. And now, change the order of the words and take out in and the.
A schedule change?
Yeah, the whole sentence. Ha habido.
There's been a schedule change.
Perfect. Yes, very good. Si lo añojarás, podría sacarlo. Sorry.
Si lo.
Añojarás, no? To loosen?
Aflojarás.
Aflojarás. I need to get glasses. Si lo aflojarás, podría sacarlo.
If you loosened it, you could take it out.
Very good. And again?
If you loosened it, you could take it out.
Very good. Now, how do you say hablando del rey de Roma?
Speaking of the devil.
Yeah, and actually, I think in American English you say speaking of, right?
More than speak, yeah.
We say speak of.
Yeah, speak of the devil.
Yeah, and my grandmother used to say, speak of the devil and he'll surely appear. Now, this is the second time we've mentioned the devil this morning. What was the expression you taught me this morning?
Cuando el diablo se aburre con el rabo mata moscas.
Now, in English we say the devil makes work for idle hands. Is that?
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means idleness can... Yeah.
Which is true.
Yeah, okay. But you loosened it. You're not connecting right. What was the sentence before?
No, I made a mistake. I need to get classes, you know?
Yes.
So I said, si lo añojarás, and he said, so aflojarás, because I thought it was an ñe.
Añorar is different.
So, what was it?
If you loosened it. Claro, ahí está. It was correct, but your phonetics was not good.
If you loosened it.
Loosened it.
If you loosened it.
Eso.
You could take it out.
Very good. And again?
Take it out.
If you loosened it, you could take it out.
Very good. Now ask him how long his father spent training for his job. I have an image in my head of, because you were a baby, right? You were one.
Yeah, it was before I was born.
Before you were born.
He joined the Army Air Corps in 1940.
What I'm talking about is in the insurance job that he did for New York.
Oh, I understood. Okay.
Because you were a baby.
Yes, I was 2.5 to 3.5 years old.
Okay. Now ask him how long his father trained for that job.
How long did your father train for that job?
No.
Repeat.
How long did your father train for that job?
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Choca. About 9 or 10 months. Full time.
And now ask him if he spent 9 or 10 months in New York.
Did you spend... did he spend 9 or 10 months in New York?
Yeah, the whole family. The company financed the move of the entire family to Queens.
And you lived in Queens?
Well, you see, there's an area of Queens called Flushing Meadows.
Where the tennis takes place, the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, within that area, there's a smaller area called Fresh Meadows, which was a golf course until about 1954. No, before that, until about 1948. And New York Life Insurance Company bought the golf course and transformed it into a housing facility.
Okay.
And so all of the houses belong to the company.
Okay.
You see, it's an enormous company. It's the first or second mutual life insurance company in the United States.
I'll ask him to explain what a mutual insurance company is.
Could you explain what a mutual insurance company is?
Of course. A mutual is in which really there are no shareholders. It's not quoted on any stock exchange, so it's not on the secondary market. And the policy holders, in essence, are... as if they were owners, and they receive, in addition to the proceeds in case of death or disability or similar, in case of claims, they also receive the profit sharing, let's say, on what is... You have it here, La Mutua Madrileña, is that. It does the same thing. You see, the mutual... I like the concept of a mutual company. Although it depends on what kind of company you have, whether you would go that way or go another.
Yes. And ask him how long his father worked for them.
How long did your father work for them?
I think he worked from early 1949 until 1982. So what is that? That's from 1950 to 32, 33 years.
33 years.
So did he retire?
Early retirement.
Okay.
At age 59. First, for two reasons. Well, for three reasons. Number one, He was tired of his job because it's the type of job where you have to recruit and train agents and manage agents. And as he got older, the gap between his age and the age of the people he was recruiting, training, and managing was greater and greater. And he was, I think there was a generational or cultural gap as well. And he simply said, I'm tired of changing diapers.
All right.
Diapers.
How do you say diaper in British English?
Pañales. In British English, I don't know.
How do you say nappies? Nappies.
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 Yeah.
Nappies. And so he took early retirement. It was funny because when he finished the university in 1948, that's when my sister was born in Austin, Texas. He drove to Houston for his first job interview and took it.
Really?
To be a life insurance agent. Can you believe it? I mean, he had a degree in business administration, and he decided to become a life insurance agent.
All right. Are you back with us after the break?
No.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll get some more of the story another day. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
In a world where everybody knows the answers.
Everybody knows the answers.
Only three people have the questions.
Questions.
Only three people.
You all right there, Rob?
I'm all right. Hey, guys, it's Vaughn Trivia Night. Bah, 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 bah.
Woo-hoo!
30th of November, it's the lunchtime cruise turn at the Trivia Night. And that's me, the Natch, Andy.
Yes, indeed. You're going to see all three of us at Real Madrid in Calle Amaniel number 23. Calle Amaniel number 23, 8:30, November 30th. See you there.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio.
Si juntamos todas las horas de clase de inglés que Miguel ha dado en su vida, suman casi un año. Sí, un año entero. ¿Y sabes lo peor? Que Miguel tiene un nivel de inglés más bien normalito. Vamos, el típico nivel intermedio. Y como Miguel, hay muchos españoles que por culpa del método antiguo han pasado mucha parte de su vida estudiando inglés para conseguir poco. Es probable que ese sea también tu caso, y esos años no te los va a devolver nadie. Pero tenemos una buena noticia, tus hijos no tienen que pasar por eso.
Apúntalos a Club Junior. Aprenderán con un método ameno y exigente que les motiva y despierta sus ganas de aprender inglés. Vence a los antiguos métodos con Vaughan. Tus hijos tendrán la oportunidad que tú no tuviste. Llama ahora al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Este otoño tenemos novedades. Nos hemos sentado con nuestros seguidores para ver qué es lo que más les cuesta. Y, surprise, surprise, es el speaking. Por eso te presentamos Speak English A1, A2, Speak English B1 y Speak English B2, una serie de tres libros orientados a mejorar la fluidez con el inglés a través del método Vaughan, con frases de traducción y secciones variadas sobre gramática, vocabulario, errores comunes, phrasal verbs y mucho más. El complemento que tu speaking estaba buscando. Escoge ya tu nivel y empieza a dar el cambio en tu inglés.
¿Por qué es compatible con tu jornada laboral? Con un máximo de 6 alumnos por clase. Son los trimestrales de Vaughan. Exigentes. Intensos. Sí, son los de Vaughan. Con más de 40 años de experiencia. Elige el día de la semana y déjate de excusas. Ven a nuestro centro Vaughan en Madrid, en la calle Orense 69, primera planta, o en la calle Arapiles 18. Más información en el 91-133-5833. Trimestrales de Vaughan. 3 meses y notarás la diferencia.
Descubre One to One Flex, las clases particulares Vaughan que solo dan facilidades. Con One to One Flex, tú eliges el día y la hora. Tú eliges el canal, por teléfono o por videoconferencia. Y tú eliges la duración, desde 30 minutos hasta 3 horas. El profesor se adapta a tu nivel y tus necesidades. Reserva tus clases para aprender y hablar inglés centrándote en tus objetivos y a tu ritmo. Para más información, llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. One to One Flex, hecho a medida para ti. Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con El Mundo y Marca. Por 6,95 euros, tus hijos y tú aprenderéis inglés con vuestros personajes Disney favoritos y los mejores profesores Vaughan. Esta semana es el turno de Mulan. Así que ya sabes, este sábado en tu kiosco, por 6,95 euros, con El Mundo y Marca. Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan.
The program, and we had a brief, we had a cameo appearance.
Yes.
How do you say it in Spanish? The same?
The same. Cameo. Okay.
Cameo.
Cameo.
Yeah, by Richard Vaughan. Now, actually, in a minute, I'm going to ask Nacho to see if he can find, there's a famous, speaking of John F. Kennedy, because the greatest thing about Kennedy, now, he was a very able politician. Now, morally, personally,
well,
you know,
that's another
but,
subject.
I mean, he was a very inspiring person. And from my parents' generation, he was hugely important for my parents' generation and for, you could say, the generation after them, because Ireland got its independence in 1922. We were a new country. We were poor. There was almost no industry. The economy was really depressed from 1922, the foundation of the state, until the mid-1960s, really. A depressed economy. Because then, of course, in 73, we joined the European Union and that mm-hmm. made a big difference. But we lost generation after, we lost hundreds, we lost millions of people to emigration, especially to the States. And of course, these were some of our best people. And Kennedy becoming president, because he was the first Irish American, he was the first Catholic. There have only been two Catholic presidents of the United States. Can you name them?
No, I only knew about Kennedy. I don't know who the other one is.
Biden.
Biden is Catholic. Catholic. Catholic.
Yeah. Biden was also the first Catholic vice president, first and only.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he came to visit Ireland in early 1963 with, of course, his beautiful wife. And he was a very handsome man. And, of course, Irish people were enthralled. And there are Irish economists who would say it actually was one of the several factors that pushed the Irish economy, because of the fact that it gave confidence to Irish people. But I think we also had at that time a very able, probably the best Irish prime minister, I would say this without fear of any contradiction, was a man called Sean Lamass. Sean Lamass was somebody who had been a revolutionary, a gunman in our War of Independence, I mean, in against the British. He then came into, he was the deputy prime minister for a long time to the longest serving prime minister, who was Eamon de Valera, who was the son of a Spaniard. And Lamass was only prime minister for about 4 years. But he and the most powerful civil servant, how do you say civil servant?
Funcionarios.
At the time, they got together and they decided, okay. I mean, at that time, the government was small, you know, so they could do a lot of things, which I think would be more difficult now. So they decided, they got together and they organized what was then called the Industrial Development Authority. And the purpose of that was, especially in the United States, was that they would recruit very able people who would travel to the United States and who would make contact, especially with Irish-American business people, maybe second generation, some first, but mostly second generation business people, who, of course, had a great affinity with Ireland. And the Irish government built factories that were empty. And they said, OK, you open a business in our country. We'll give you the factory. We'll give you the factory. We have an English speaking population. And around the same time, another very able member of that government, a guy called Donough O'Malley, he was Minister for Education. And he brought into being legislation to provide free secondary education for everybody in about 1966. Which wasn't the case in Ireland. Only people who had some money could pay for a secondary education. So we had a lot of Irish people who had little education. And so all of these things came together. The 1973, Ireland joined the, what was then the EEC, the European Economic Community. And our first commissioner, later president of Ireland, was a guy called Patrick Hillary, who negotiated a fantastic deal for Ireland. I think we made something like 3% contribution. Now, at that time, the European Economic Community was small. I mean, it was the original members, of course, France and Germany. Spain hadn't joined yet, neither had Portugal. The UK joined the same day as Ireland. So you had Belgium, you had the Netherlands. I think you probably had Austria.
Maybe Italy.
Italy, yes. The Scandinavians hadn't joined yet either. Yeah. So we made 3% contribution, but we got 15% back investment into Ireland. So most Irish people will tell you the European Union has been really good for Ireland. Mm-hmm. A small country with a depressed economy, no real natural resources. We don't have oil, we don't have much gas, but we have a good workforce now still. But that immigration continued right up until the late 1990s, early 2000s. And now we have one of the lowest unemployment rates in Europe. We have also this controversial low corporate tax rate, which was implemented by this guy, Sean Lamass, mm-hmm. and the civil servant, a guy called T.K. Whitaker, in the 60s. And so these guys laid the foundations for what we have now. But the visit of Kennedy was massively important. And of course he was a tremendously inspiring speaker. He was very young. I think he was 43 or 44. He had this beautiful wife. His kids were like little kids. And he had a very distinctive speaking voice and accent. He had a very strong Boston accent. And there's a film, like I said, 13 Days, which I think is one of those literal translations. It's Trece Días. And in that, you hear, for example, the famous sentence is, because Harvard is just outside Boston. It's in the town of Cambridge, just outside Boston. And so I would say, I parked the car in the Harvard yard. Now, yard, I think you would say like...
Patio, yeah.
But in this Boston accent, it's I packed the car to have it yard. All right. I'm going to see if I can find a famous speech that he made. It was at Rice University. I'm not sure where Rice University is. It was when he talked, and of course, unfortunately, he didn't live to see this, but going to the moon, mm-hmm. which was something that that obviously he was very much in favor of. And let me see if I can find it. Ah, yeah. Nacho, podrías buscar, we choose to go to the moon. Es el corto de 2 minutes, 12 seconds. And in this, you hear his accent. And he was a tremendous speaker. He really was a tremendous speaker. When he came to Ireland, he really inspired Irish people and gave us the self-confidence that we were lacking. You know, because we were, you know, people with a long history, but we had suffered, of course, under occupation, and now we were emerging as a nation in our own right. I'll do a okay, he has it, very good, thank you, Nacho.
William Bradford, speaking in 1630 of the founding of the Plymouth Bay Colony, said that all great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulty, and both must be enterprised and overcome with admirable courage. If this capsule history of our progress teaches us anything, it is that man in his quest for knowledge and progress is determined and cannot be deterred. The exploration of space will go ahead, whether we join in it or not. We mean to be a part of it. We mean to lead it. For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon, and to the planets beyond. Our leadership in science and industry, our hopes for peace and security, Our obligations to ourselves, as well as others, all require us to make this effort to solve these mysteries, to solve them for the good of all men. There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
All right. So he starts now. I think I have some of it here. He starts off by talking William Bradford, speaking in 1630. Of the founding of the Plymouth Bay Colony. Now, Plymouth Bay was where the Mayflower ship landed with the Pilgrims. We Americans celebrated just last week. What is today? Ah, yes, last Thursday, Thanksgiving, which is Thanksgiving for that. Said that all great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulties, and both must be enterprised and overcome with answerable courage. Now, he did have a great speechwriter, Kennedy, a guy called Sorensen. Ted Sorensen, who appears in the film 13 Days, but has a very minor role, but he was a very close advisor, and he wrote his speeches, apparently. Let me see. And he wrote, and of course, what the reason they wanted to go to the moon because the Russians had won the space race. Gagarin, Yuri Gagarin, who died apparently mysteriously. Yeah, he died mysteriously. He went into space in 1961. And of course, the Americans said, well, we'll be the first ones to land on the moon. And then, of course, you have the conspiracy theory that it never happened. So he says, those who came before us made certain that this country rode the first waves of the industrial revolutions, the first waves of modern invention, and the first wave of nuclear power. And this generation does not intend to founder, now here we go. This generation does not intend to founder in the backwash of the coming age of space. Now, if you're swimming and you founder, it means you're going to drown. Mm-hmm. And backwash is like what we talked about the other day, the wake of a ship. It's another way of saying that. He says, we mean to be a part of it. Now, with his accent, he says, we mean to be a part of it. We mean to lead it. For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon and to the planets beyond. And then he goes on, and for me, the most inspirational part of this is, if I can find it, yeah, I think I can remember it. He says, here we go. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And as he would say, hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to win, and the others too. So he was a tremendously inspirational person. And that visit to Ireland in early 1963, where every Irish person, I mean, would tell you, they remember the visit, and then, of course, what they also remember was exactly where they were when they heard the news that he had been assassinated. Yeah. So, let's do a little bit of vocabulary. Book 4, list 19. Ventajoso.
Advantageous.
Very good. Detenidamente.
Thoroughly.
Okay, very good.
Or...
Now, think of the noun...
In detail.
Okay. Think of the noun... The substantive version of long, of the adjective long.
Length.
And put a preposition.
At length.
Very good, very good, very good. Talonario de cheques.
Checkbook.
Yep.
Checkbook.
When was the last time you wrote a check?
Maybe in 1993.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
there's something that has never more
pretty much disappeared.
Yes.
Yeah. Corcho.
Cork.
Which is my hometown.
Yes.
Now, sometimes I make fun. I say to people, oh, yeah, we invented Cork in Cork. And they say, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I say, no, you get cork from trees.
But do you have that kind of trees there?
No. It's very common, I associate it with Portugal.
Yes.
A lot of cork trees there.
The name Cork doesn't come from the product.
The name Cork, almost all of the Irish place names, the cities, the towns, the villages, the counties, how do you say counties?
Condados.
Are what we call an anglicization. I don't know if there's a translation, Anglicanization. Okay. Because the British, obviously, we had Irish place names, and the British wanted to change them into English. And there's actually a famous play by one of Ireland's greatest playwrights, a guy called Brian Friel, and it's called Translations. And what it's about is there was a concerted campaign by the British to change, because they wanted to, they wanted to basically kill the Irish language because it was a part of the identity. Mm-hmm. That was one thing they did a pretty good job with, but we also killed it ourselves. It's still alive, but it's just barely surviving. And so Cork was the anglicized version of Corkig. And Corkig is an old Gaelic word, which means, how do you say a marsh?
A marsh, un pantano,
yeah.
Una zona cenagosa. Yeah.
So that's exactly what it means, because Cork is the River Lee flows through Cork and it divides into two parts. Mm-hmm. But the Cork is a very, very low-lying city and it's a port. So we often get flooding in the old part of the city, which is barely above sea level. And underneath the city, there are a lot of natural rivers and canals. And we actually have the main business street in Cork is called the South. I would say the South Mall. An American would pronounce it South Mall. Like what? I would say a shopping center. An American would say a shopping mall. So because it's a port city, we had several, as well as the British, there was, for example, Italian merchants came from the city of Tivoli in Italy. And there's a place in Cork City, a beautiful part of the city, a very beautiful residential part of the city called Tivoli. So the merchants came from there and also some from Venice. And I think they built a canal, which is, it's now a street, but they built a canal called the South Mall. And if you ever go there, you'll see on that street, now they're turned into shops and so on. But there was a place where the merchants could put their boat, get out of the boat and go upstairs into their house. You can still see the, You can still see the stairs. And there are certain things in the city of Cork. There's one thing, now this is what I would call an uninformed opinion, but it's a theory that I've always had. Specifically to the city, at Christmas time, we eat spiced beef, which is beef that is cured for several days in a mixture of brine. Brine is
escabechado,
kind of, and spices and so on. It's cured. You boil it. You don't roast it, and it's eaten specifically only in the city. Only in the city. Now it's become a bit of a delicacy, and other parts of the country are eating it. But I associate it with my mouth is watering. How do you say that in Spanish?
Se me hace la boca agua.
Yeah, it's something with Christmas. You eat it at Christmas, and it's very, very like pastrami, which is an American meat that they eat, especially in places like New York. And so I'm certain this must have come with the people from Tivoli, because my father was not from the city, neither was my mother, but my mother had never eaten it, even though she lived just 6 miles outside the city. But my father had cousins in the city, and so that's where he knew it from. And then we also had some Dutch merchants who came too. So Cork, in this case, Corkig. Dublin comes from Duv Ling, which means black pool. How do you say pool?
A pool, un charco.
Yes, because in the centre of Dublin, again, a bit like Cork, you have underground rivers, and if there was a lot of heavy rain, a very black pool would appear. And so that was Duv Ling, and so the British called that Dublin. Yep. Dispositivo.
Device.
Very good. Entorno o medio ambiente.
Environment.
Very good. Asustado.
Frightened.
Good. And a synonym?
Scared.
Very good. Humilde.
Humble.
Yeah, sometimes people ask me, what's the secret? What's the secret to success of a Vaughan teacher? Three things I would say.
Humility.
Genuine humility. Genuine humility. And C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Can you translate that? It's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Can you translate that in Spanish?
Yes. No es pensar que eres menos, sino pensar menos en ti mismo.
Yeah, exactly. And also, genuine self-confidence. So very often a truly self-confident person is a quiet person. They don't feel the need to talk. And courage. A good teacher needs to have courage, because most of our teachers, a lot of our teachers are half the age of their student. And not just half the age, but the student could be a CEO, a CFO, a COO. Maybe the teacher has recently arrived in Spain. It might be a 22-year-old girl from Manchester, and her student is her father's age. But she must be in control of the class, so courage is also important.
And it's not that easy to teach not letting mistakes happen.
Yes, well, you're jumping
to someone who is older than you.
Yes.
I can tell.
Yeah, it can be hard on people. Yeah. Menos mal.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Valor de mercado.
Market value.
Very good. Loro.
Parrot.
Yes. Referencia.
Reference.
Good. And then if, for example, which is our best way of recruiting, which works thanks to our teachers very well, a teacher would say to me, I have a referencia for you. A friend of mine wants to join the company. Referral.
Referral.
Yes.
Referral.
Yeah. This is for there's a very loyal listener of ours who recently sent me some books and a letter, and he said, this is your favorite word, and I do really like this word in English. Cabeza de Turco.
Is it something related with turkey?
No. How do you say cabra?
Scapegoat.
Tímido.
Shy.
Very good. Estancado.
Estancado.
It's not terribly dissimilar in English.
I don't know.
Now, remember earlier we said, what's the male deer called?
Stag.
That's the first syllable. And how do you say hormiga in English?
Ant. Ant. Stagant?
Almost. You need one letter in between.
I have no idea.
Stagnant.
Stagnant.
Stagnant. So estancado?
Stagnant.
Manso.
Tame.
Very good. Yeah, we were trying to think earlier of the word that we use for someone that controls a hawk. There's a very specific hawk tamer, but there's another word in English. Falconer. Maybe the falconer.
Falconer. Maybe.
Yeah. Yes. Falconry is the practice. Yeah. What do you call the guy? This is a very common practice in countries like Qatar, where the World Cup is right now. It's a very common thing for people to keep a pet bird of prey. A falconer. An ostringer. I never heard of that in my life.
Ostringer.
Yeah. Consideración.
Consideration.
Or? Now, how do you say the verb? You have the verb to think.
Yes.
Now, what's the noun?
Thinkfulness?
Now, thought.
Oh,
thought.
All right. Thoughtful. Thoughtfulness.
Very good. Yes.
Thoughtfulness.
Very good.
Thoughtfulness.
Farolear.
Farolear. I have no idea.
No, to bluff.
Oh, to bluff.
To bluff.
Yes, a bluff is a farol when you play poker.
When you play poker,
you're bluffing.
It's also a type, in American English, it's a type of small mountain, a bluff.
A bluff.
Yeah. Elaborar o confeccionar using a phrasal verb.
To draw up.
Very good, well done. Despedir en masa, for example, what Twitter did recently.
Yes, to dismiss.
Okay.
Or to lay out.
Almost.
Lay off.
Yes.
Lay off.
Yeah.
Lay off.
Now, if I told you, if I said to you, Pablo, lay off the bicycle for a few months, what does that mean?
Que deje la bicicleta tiempo.
Yeah, he needs to...
Lay off.
Yeah. And if I said, if he needs to lay off the booze, what does that mean?
The booze?
Us booze.
Ah, with the booze, all right.
Alcohol, yeah. It's like, well, the doctor told him to lay off the booze. Yeah. Proporcionar.
To provide.
Very good. Resolver.
To sort out.
Okay, and one word?
Resolve.
And?
To solve.
To solve, very good. Pensar en voz alta.
To think aloud.
Very good. Torneo.
A tournament.
Adinerado, rico.
Wealthy.
And cabeza de turco. Think of cabra.
Can't believe it. Scapegoat.
Yeah, and scapegoat. Estancado.
Stagnant.
Stagnant. Yep. That's it, folks. Stagnant. Thanks to Nacho. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Roll Cafe, Calle Emmanuel 23, 8:30 for the Vaughan quiz, and GrupoBoggan.com to solve your English problem. Bye bye.
How do you say superar in English? Overcome, to overcome. With Vaughan, you will overcome the obstacles and gain the fluency you need to be an effective communicator.
Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con El Mundo y Marca. Por 6,95 euros, tus hijos y tú aprenderéis inglés con vuestros personajes Disney favoritos y los mejores profesores Vaughan. Esta semana es el turno de Mulan. Así que ya sabes, este sábado en tu kiosco, por 6,95 euros, con El Mundo y Marca. Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan.
Lengua, un 8, bien, bien. Matemáticas, un 9 y medio, muy bien. Educación física, un 10, toma.